Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I got some thoughts for Oregon State in their game against Hawaii. I've got thoughts for Portland State. Talk more about the PAC-12 later. Jaden Grant, Oregon State defensive back, is joining us every week. He'll join us at 1:30 today. Tyson Alger, fantastic journalist, fantastic writer. He's got a new podcast out, and just does a great job covering the University of Oregon. If you want to know what's going on with the University of Oregon, you want to read and listen to a compelling guy, Tyson Alger is your guy. Formerly of the Oregonian, also formerly of the Athletic, also formerly of the great state of Alaska. He's now got a podcast called The I-5 Corridor. He's joining us now, somewhere on the I-5 Corridor, no doubt. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, John. Thanks for having me on today.
Alaska raised. I got to talk about that later in the program, but let's start with what you're doing now with the I-5 Corridor. What is it?
Yeah, so it's a new website and podcast that I created about a month ago. As you mentioned at the top, I am no longer with The Athletic. I wanted to branch out and kind of form my own local focused place to tell stories, and then that's through kind of print and podcast medium. I have a former Oregon kicker, Aiden Schneider, on the podcast with me, and essentially it's just a place that I wanted to have where I can tell stories that interest me and about people that I find fascinating around this great state of Oregon.
Let's talk about the Oregon Ducks going to Columbus, Ohio. Do you have an episode? Have you talked about this game in depth yet?
We talked a little bit on Monday's podcast, just kind of coming off of the Fresno State game. And then I think Aiden and I were a little bit split. You know, he's got the player's perspective of not wanting to make too much out of 1 week, but I just wasn't impressed on Saturday, man. And I know that the Ducks are keeping things close to the vest. They're not going to want to show everything on tape against a lower caliber team before playing Ohio State. But usually, when Oregon's really good, they win those games convincingly, and that one was definitely a bit of a struggle.
Tyson, I'm picking Oregon to upset Ohio State. I agree with the player's perspective. I'm looking at it going, it was a one-off, 1 week. I didn't like Ohio State's performance against Minnesota. I know it's easy to pick Ohio State, but you know, do I sound crazy? Do I sound stupid? Do I sound like a homer?
No, I don't think so. A better chance. Oregon has a better chance in this game than they've had in any of these premier games leading up to this in the past, and that's just based on the talent gap that the Ducks have been able to shorten between them and kind of the top level college football elites. Like the Ducks have a ton of playmakers on defense. We saw it, you know, granted if Kayvon Thibodeau plays or not, but if he does, they have a defense that can create turnover, that can create chaos, that can, you know, make a difference in a game facing an inexperienced quarterback like Ohio State has. You know, I think a lot of it's just going to end up coming down to whether or not the Oregon offense we saw on Saturday was just kind of a purposeful shell of itself, or whether or not this offense can actually go out there and kind of dictate the tempo and pace and get out in front with some of those explosion plays that Joe Moorhead likes to talk so fondly about.
Oregon offensive line supposed to push around Fresno State, and they didn't. Do you have an easy explanation for why that didn't happen?
I not really, man. Like that was a kind of my biggest concern coming out of that game. You know, Fresno's no cupcake. This isn't like the 2018 season when Oregon opened with like Bowling Green and San Jose State and Portland State. Like Fresno State's like a mid-range Mountain West Conference team that did have a veteran defensive line coming back, but that defensive line isn't going to be filled with five-star guys quite like Ohio State's is. And so, I thought Oregon ran a very vanilla scheme on Saturday purposely, but I just I want to know how well that ramps up for them when they do face an opponent in their really their most important game, and probably since the 2014 Michigan State game.
Yeah, I keep looking at the quarterback position as well. Anthony Brown Jr., he's okay. Maybe he can play better. Do you think, Tyson, we could see more than one quarterback in this game?
I doubt in this game. I think Anthony Brown's kind of their ride or die for this one, because I just don't see, you know, let's say the Ducks go into halftime and they're down three touchdowns. Like, that would be a heck of a game to debut any of those three freshmen in. Not a single one of them have even taken a collegiate snap, and so to not even have, you know, a minute of garbage time before going in and playing at the Horseshoe, I would be hard-pressed to think that they would do that. But if they do struggle in that game, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see if they made a move looking at the rest of the season. It's just that would be, you know, when they broke open the glass on Justin Herbert back in 2016, they waited to do it until a Washington State game out in the Palouse, and I believe it was the fourth quarter or so. So just a little bit of a lower profile there than what the Ducks are going to be faced with on Saturday.
But remember, Herbert's first start was against a really good Washington team.
True. And that game ended up being, what was it, 72-20-something?
No comment. Tyson Alger with us, I-5 Corridor. I just subscribed, by the way, to your deal. Yes. Everything comes right to your inbox.
You know, we're trying to be convenient. You know, I'm not pompous enough to think that people are going to come look for me, John. So I come straight to you.
You're going to meet me right where I am, right with all that reader email that I'm getting. Tyson Alger with us. So give me an idea. You know, you look at this Oregon team, Kayvon Thibodeau on defense. They're getting a couple of defensive backs back that were out because of the airsoft gun suspension debacle. How much better can Oregon be on defense? And how much of it hinges, in your mind, on Thibodeau being on the field?
I think it's 100% night and day difference if he plays or not. I mean, we saw in the first quarter of that game just how good he can be. And the scary thing is through Thibodeau's first two seasons, he had been kind of a traditionally slow starter. And to see him to have just that sort of explosiveness in the first quarter of his first game in a hype season, that was huge for Oregon, and it would be catastrophic for them if they're not able to have that type of player going against an Ohio State offensive line that has like four guys that are the size of left tackles. I mean, they're all just big boys up there. And so it's not like just a strength that Oregon would be missing. It would be a strength on top of an Ohio State strength. And so being able to get that push up front is going to be key for the Ducks, because you can go back to the 2014-15 title game when Oregon met them in the playoff final. And the difference in that game just came to Oregon getting pushed around up front, and that's kind of the way that they've gone about retooling this team in the crystal ball era. And Thibodeau's kind of the showcase of what the Ducks want to be in terms of disruption. And if he's not there, I just really think that there's going to be far too much pressure placed on the Oregon secondary that does get two pieces back, but gets two pieces that are rusty, and just a whole lot of inexperience back there.
Let's talk about 2015 to now. You had a piece on it that you talked about and have written about, but you know, the last two times these teams met, it was evident Ezekiel Elliott was on one side and not the other. The quarterback Cardale Jones could have played defensive tackle probably for Oregon. The talent gap. Has Mario Cristobal closed the talent gap?
He has, especially with 98% of the country. Like, the recruiting that the Ducks have done over the last 4 years has been nearly incomparable in college football, except for the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, those few teams that are sitting at the very top. Because for as good as Oregon's gotten the last 4 years, those teams have even created a further gap between them and the rest of college football. I have some numbers up on the site, and While Oregon is a little bit closer overall talent to Ohio State than they were back in 2014, it's very minimal. And that's after about three straight best classes ever that the Ducks have brought to Eugene. So it's definitely Oregon's caught in a spot right now where they've created some separation between themselves and the rest of the Pac-12 and a lot of the rest of the college football. But if they want to take this next step up into being considered an elite team and a contender for the championship every year, they're going to have to keep this talent acquisition going at the same rate or even better than it's been already.
A lot of overreaction in week one, right? You know, Montana beats Washington, and nobody thinks Jimmy Lake can win a game anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Michigan and win. Ohio State, they didn't look that great against Minnesota. I'm picking Oregon to beat them. Then I see Oregon play, and I go, ooh, Oregon didn't look that good either. Like, talk about week one a little bit, Tyson. Like, is there a propensity in fans to have that recency bias and believe this is all there is to see this season based on four quarters of play?
Oh, absolutely. And I 100% expected that to happen, especially this year. I mean, like, I barely even count the six, seven games Oregon played last year as anything that people were really all that invested in. And so it's basically been 2 years since the Ducks have been able to see their team at what they expect to be 100% going into a hyped up season. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of a little bit of the beauty of college football coming back, that, you know, for once people are arguing online about a sport instead of everything else that's been going on lately. And so, I completely expected the overreaction there. If you look back at all of Oregon's elite seasons, they've traditionally not struggled at all in the non-conference. And this win reminded me just a little bit of in 2018 and in Chris Paul's first year when the Ducks were just getting going and they had a lukewarm week three win over San Jose State. I think Justin Herbert completed 49% of his passes. They ended up winning by 13. Then it was just a ho-hum performance. And there was a lot of that. How much should you take out of that going into the conference play? And then the Ducks ended up losing the next week to number seven Stanford. And so I'm not saying that the two seasons are completely comparable, but like sometimes when you do have that feeling of that didn't look that great coming out of the non-conference, you do see some results that happen to follow with that. So we'll see whether or not that holds true on Saturday.
Tyson Alger, he's got a new podcast and a new writing gig, the I-5 Corridor. I just subscribed to it. You should as well. Tyson, coaching staff at Oregon. It's Joe Moorhead on the offense. It's Tim DeRuiter in the defense. Mario Cristobal recruiting like crazy and working with the offensive line. Is there something missing on this coaching staff? Because, you know, the narrative, I think, a little bit last season and certainly after week one was, man, they have great talent, but they're not coaching them up. Is that unfair to this coaching staff?
It's a hard one to say in the realm of just this season, because I think Saturday will go a long ways to showing just what Oregon has up his sleeve on offense. I mean, you can look around. I know Mario likes to play a conservative type of college football and get a lead and sit on it and really grind out wins. But if you look out across the rest of the country, even those traditional 3 yards in a cloud of dust will beat you up in the trenches team like Alabama are completely airing it out. And granted, it's easy to air it out when you have five stars at every position, but that's kind of, you have to score to win. And the Oregon's come under a fair amount of criticism the last 3 years for being conservative. There was the chorus that after Justin Herbert did what he did in the NFL last year, you know, why couldn't he have done that at the college level? And so Joe Moorhead is a very respected offensive coordinator. He's supposed to be one of the most creative guys. He's kind of known as a high tempo, high scoring offense. And so we'll really see. You know, I'm not taking too much from last year, but, you know, given a full year to prepare for this game, I think this is going to really show us what you should think about Oregon's coaching staff.
Tyson Alger, you'll be in Columbus, Ohio. Give me one thing you're really looking forward to seeing or learning about Oregon in this game against Ohio State.
This is going to sound so stupid and cliche, but I just want to see the eye test when the two teams get on the field together. I mean, that was the biggest thing in the national championship game 7 years ago. They just looked like two different classifications of teams when they got on the field when it came to size and just kind of talent. And so, it's a very unscientific thing, but I just want to see that eye test that when the two teams get on the field and see if Oregon looks like a team that's going to be able to physically compete.
I'm watching in the first quarter, and I'll be there on press row with you. I'm watching which way the piles are falling. I think those two things are definitely correlated. I'm expecting Oregon to run the ball in Ohio State, but let's see what happens. Tyson, I appreciate you. I'll see you in the press box.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. Really, really enjoyed coming on.
the I-5 corridor. Check it out. Tyson does a great job, former colleague at the Oregonian. Also, he's worked at the Athletic. Love that he's doing his own thing now. And I'm excited to see what he does with it. I subscribed right when he came on the show. I was like, I better subscribe to this guy and see what he's doing as much as I'm talking about him. Coming up, Jaden Grant, Oregon State defensive back. But before that, I'll talk about what I want to see from Jonathan Smith. We'll play some Punch It audio later in the show. Got a great show. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. I'm picking the Ducks. I want you to think of me when Oregon is winning this football game on Saturday in Columbus, Ohio. Final seconds go off the clock. Just give me a, you know, oh, he wasn't crazy. He wasn't dumb. Know what I'm talking about here, people. I don't always get it right, but I like Oregon in this game. Really close game, but I like Oregon in this game. Oregon State's got Hawaii at home. We all saw the Purdue-Oregon State game. We all saw Sam Noyer start the game and struggle. I really did think he just had an off night throwing the football, so I don't think we've seen the end of Sam Noyer. But I really liked what Chance Nolan did on the field. And I know if you were watching that game as well against Purdue, I think if Chance Nolan had played all four quarters, I hesitate to put it on one guy, one position, because there were so many other things in this game that it could have gone well for Oregon State. But I think if Chance Nolan plays all four quarters, I think Oregon probably, or Oregon State probably wins that game or is right there. I expect that Jonathan Smith, I asked him on yesterday's show, he was very noncommittal. Zach, did you hear what Smith said yesterday when I kind of said to him, hey, you know, who's your quarterback?
Yeah. Well, what was he saying? He was saying, like, they still haven't made a decision yet.
No decision made?
Yeah.
Like, here, I'm going to play that clip right now. I just pulled it up. Here it is.
You know, we've been letting those guys get some reps for a couple of days. I haven't digested the film after this one, and Coach Lindgren ultimately has the big say in that, and so we haven't made a decision yet.
If it's Sam Noyer, I think you would have said it right there.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see Chance Nolan. And I saw Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, who covers the team. He had tweeted out that Tristan Jebbia was at practice yesterday in pads, was not limping. I saw him at the game on the field. I watched him walk across sort of the end zone. He was walking during warmups. He looked to me like he was hobbling a little bit. Nick Daschle said he was not hobbling. I think we're going to see Chance Nolan start at quarterback on Saturday against Hawaii. And I don't think it's a big surprise. Is that a shocker?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.